Welcome to the Joplin and Andrea podcast. I'm Andrea here with my co-host and husband, Joplin. Welcome to today's show.
Well, thanks for joining us, everybody. Today's show, we're going to spend some time talking about the current climate of America and really what can we do? How should we be responding to everything that we see? But first of all, today was a good day here at the Emerson household. We want to talk about that. Why was it a good day, Andrea?
Today was a good day because I got a haircut in color. Yay!
Yeah, she got a haircut.
It's been a really, really long time.
Long time. Yep. Since before quarantine,
yeah. Yep, right at spring break, I was supposed to get a haircut and ended up working where I couldn't get the appointment that I had. And so it was even like that much longer. So I was pretty pumped.
It was a big deal. And so Things are much more peaceful.
Things are looking up.
Yes. Andrea, when she doesn't get a haircut in a long time, you know how sometimes when your hair just, you know, you can't take care of it, it gets long and you just feel like, I want to get this cut. She kind of turns into the Hulk.
No.
And she wants to break stuff. She gets very violent. And so today, it helped a lot getting the haircut.
It did help getting the haircut, but I'm pretty sure not any of that's true. Well,
it's never actually happened, but like I can just tell
you can just
in
sense
her
it.
Mind. You know how good we men do at reading the minds of our wives. And I can just tell, like, in my mind-reading skills, I'm like, the Hulk's about to come out. This woman's about to smash some stuff if she don't get a haircut. Mm. And I saw it.
Good thing it wasn't you not getting a haircut.
This is true. Well, you know, I don't really need too many haircuts. This is no secret. My haircuts are, you know, they're not too frequent.
But you do shave your head, like, every other day. And So
I try to keep it looking good.
If you didn't before since spring break, we'd be in big trouble.
So who was, you don't have to tell us the company, just what was the name of the lady today?
A girl named Rachel, and she was here in Derby, and she did great. I was really, really nervous.
Yeah, shout out to Rachel for getting my wife fixed
that's
up.
That's right. Shout out to you, Rachel. You did a great job. She was very friendly and very knowledgeable, and she did a really, really good job. This was the first time that I went anywhere else to ever get my hair done somewhere else, and she did a good job. She impressed me, so
yeah.
Way to go, Rachel.
She needed it done. She wouldn't let me do it. I don't know why. I'm actually pretty good at cutting hair, but she wouldn't.
There was one point I had actually thought about letting the girls just cut it. I just wanted it cut.
And
they just said my haircut was too complicated.
I was waiting for her to say there was a point, babe, I thought about letting you do it, and then she talks about my teenage daughters.
Yeah.
What is up with that? Why couldn't I do it?
Well, they're a little more sensitive to the hair thing. So I don't know.
I think it's like a work of art. I think they have it,
so they kind of know what to do with it. And you, on the other hand, don't.
No, I probably could have. You gotta let me give it a try. Somehow, I mean, I don't know if I could do this, but close. Hmm. I mean, pretty much you just take scissors and cut.
Yeah. Scissors and cut. Okay.
So it looks wonderful. It looks great.
Thank you. Yes.
So today was a good day at the Emerson household. My wife's been waiting like 3 months to get her hair cut. And, you know, she says that the Hulk wasn't about to come out, but there's no way to know. There's no way to ever know.
Now we'll
I think it was. We'll never know. Thanks to Rachel for saving the day. So
yes. Yeah. Yep.
All right. Hey, we're going to talk a little bit today about the George Floyd tragedy. And not just that, but kind of everything that's happened in response to that and just the culture, the climate right now. It's kind of a tense time here in America. Yep. I want to talk about, you know, how do we process everything we see? What should we be doing? What shouldn't we be doing? And so this is not scripted. We're just kind of talking tonight. Andrea, what are your thoughts when you look at everything that's going on right now in our country?
My first thoughts are it's sad. It's really sad. We just have a lot of things going on that aren't the norm. And I think people are in just kind of this state of panic. And so we see them doing things that maybe they wouldn't normally do. And so it's sad and a little shocking, and that's kind of where I'm at with it. It makes my heart hurt. It does. It makes my heart hurt. I mean, what happened should have never happened, but some of the things that we're seeing and the just complete devastation of businesses and stuff shouldn't be happening either.
Yeah.
So it's hard. What about you?
Well, I agree that what happened with, first of all, condolences to George Floyd and his family. Yes. Just yesterday, they had his memorial service and kind of a heart-wrenching service. And mixed emotions, man. I got mixed emotions like everybody. I'm mad at what happened. Mm-hmm. And equally mad at, you know, this is just opinion time. What we do, we're talking about what we think. But I'm equally mad at the fools that have somehow think that hurting other people, random businesses that have nothing to do with this,
yes,
destroying communities, that somehow that is going to stop the police brutality situation. Mm-hmm. That in some precincts, it's not a nationwide problem. That's a lie. Anybody thinks it is, it's not. There are a lot of awesome police precincts, a lot of awesome police officers.
Yes.
Yeah. We're going to talk about some of them here in a minute. But there are some bad apples out there. And yes, and unfortunately, those are what get highlighted, you know?
Yeah.
We got 350-some million people here in the United States, and bad things happen. And sometimes they happen at the hands of bad cops.
Yeah.
But... and so I want to acknowledge that. I don't want to downplay that. But what we're seeing in response is just sheer stupidity. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't help. It's hurtful. I feel terrible for others who have lost their lives because of the riots. And then others who have lost their livelihood because of the riots. And so I think it points, though, to this bigger place of where we are as a culture. Everybody is so frustrated, angry, and... man, we've got to find a way to stop being so angry.
Rechannel all that.
And
yeah,
I think a large part of it is, in my opinion, waking up to what I would call reality. Things aren't as bad as we're being told. You know, when I see the frustration of everybody, but when you think about your neighbors, your neighborhood, your friends, your family, your coworkers, your employees or employers, the people that you spend your life with, and you look at your world, it's just not as bad as you've been told it is. And there's a lot of good things that are going on. But you turn on the news and you would think that the whole entire world's burning down, because the only images they show you are the small parts of the world that are burning down.
Yeah.
You would think that all police officers are killing people because they only play over and over and over again the incredibly small amount of times they find a horrible situation. I'm not downplaying the situation, but what's happened is the situation and many others have been just blown into this frenzy that really isn't true. The world's not as bad as the news wants us to believe. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's important, somehow we got to find a way to wake up to reality. How do we do that? What's it look like? I mean, what should we be doing during this time to be peacemakers? Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers. Mm-hmm. What are some creative ideas we can do right now to be, first of all, bringing peace to our own life and then spreading that peace to our communities? You got any ideas?
My ideas are just, you know, we need to be praying for the nation as a whole. And we need to be praying for these people that are in charge of these different things, whether it's the, you know, person that's in charge of getting these riots started or these, you know, big things started, just that, you know, they could come to some peace in their own heart. And so they do it in the right context instead of doing it in the wrong ways and stirring up some of the wrong things. And praying for our, you know, our officers and those that help keep us safe, because we need them. We need those people. And, you know, how hard that has to be for them that are doing the right thing to go out just knowing what people, what the media is feeding people. And so I saw on Facebook earlier this week, and I thought this was really great. A girl that I know was, in fact, her husband's a police officer, but she was just taking donations, and she was taking a bunch of just like Gatorades and snacks and that sort of stuff to the officers that were on duty and that were, you know, being called in to help with these different things and making sure that they were just known that you were cared for and that they're loved and their community was behind them. And I thought that was really awesome. It was really neat to see that. And so, you know, we could do little things like that and maybe take time out of our day when we pull up to an officer and they're close by us and just let them know we appreciate
them.
Let
them know you love them.
Mm-hmm.
Appreciate them. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. You got ideas?
Well, yeah. I think that the first thing is you got to get peace in your own heart before you're going to be able to spread peace anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And so how do we do that? Well, first of all, I think it's important that there's a detoxing from the bad news. I really believe that we have grown to be addicted to bad news. And anybody that's ever been addicted to something or dealt with family members that have addictions, addiction's weird. Like, you don't like it. You don't want it. You know it's not good for you, but you keep going back to it. And I'm telling you right now, there is a bad news addiction that is permeating our culture. And you've got to ask yourself, when you spend an hour on Facebook, when you spend an hour on your news site, reading news, watching videos, ask yourself the sincere question, do you feel better afterwards? And
yeah, that's good.
Yeah, it's one thing to get enough of the news and know what's going on. You know, there's some critics that are going to hear what I said, and they're going to say, oh, you're sticking your head in the sand. No, that's not true, but there's not any... there's no reason you got to watch it over and over and over again, 2 hours a day, every day, 2-3 weeks in a row. You're not actually learning anything new, and it's not helpful. And if you're constantly, you know, watching, witnessing these things that make you feel like garbage, that make you angry, that make you depressed, that make you hopeless, that make you question, you know, the future and the nation and all these things, then stop.
Mm-hmm.
You got to stop it. We're addicted to bad news. And so turn it off and look at the real world, yours, and ask yourself, does your world look like what you were told it looks like? Are the people in your life acting like the people that you're seeing on the cameras? And you're going to find what's happened is there's a very small... Out of the 350 million people in the United States, it's an incredibly small percentage of people. Less than half of 1%, and that might be way out of proportion. It might be less than 0.1 of 1%. An incredibly small portion of people that these are out doing these rioting and doing these evil things and bad cops. It's just a small percentage.
Mm-hmm.
But if all that you ever see is that played over and over and over and over again, you start to think that's the case. And so first of all, you got to find a way to get peace in your own life. Stop feeding yourself bad news. And then, you know, what can we do? I encourage and pray for, and I think we're going to end this segment with prayer because it's been brought up a couple times. But we need to encourage those and thank those that are doing a good job. Right now, during this climate, what can be... It can almost feel hard to say your thank you to your police officers publicly and that type of deal because you're afraid that you're going to be pinned as being insensitive to what's happened. But as I've already said, it makes no sense to make 99% of the good officers somehow feel shamed and that like maybe they're a part of this because 1% of bad officers have did some terrible things. And so I want to take just a moment, I guess, to speak to, you know, our police officers, first responders of all sorts that are, you know, it's not just officers that have to deal with these types of things, and our people that are working in hospitals right now. I mean, it has been a really stressful time for people in the medical industry, especially the ER realm and hospitals over the course of the last 3 months. And there can be this instinct to like run away from it all, you know, go somewhere safer.
Mm-hmm.
But man, we need you. We need you. Our country needs you. Our communities need you. And I cannot say it enough. Thank you to those of you who keep us safe. Thank you to our officers who have taken that badge of honor to protect and serve. Mm-hmm. And the extreme majority of you good officers who love your communities and who are keeping us safe and who do the right thing and who look at the same thing everyone else looked at and you're disgusted by it and you're not afraid to say so. To you, we salute you and we plead with you, please don't leave. Please don't leave us. We need you. And our yes. hearts break that there's so many of you that are grappling with these questions now about, you know, do you need to do something, go somewhere else, do something else? Because it can be a thankless job.
Yeah.
And, man, we thank you for what you do.
Yes, thank you.
The same thing goes to people in the medical field, first responders, our firefighters, just all of you right now that are dealing with frontline situation. Man, we need good people there.
Yeah.
And the last thing we need is all the good people to pull out and walk away. Man, you've got to stay strong and stay committed. And we love you guys. We are proud of you. We appreciate you. Let's finish this session with a time of prayer, something we haven't done yet on our show. But, you know, you had mentioned that we need to pray for all of these people, including the ones that are organizing, leading these protests and the violence and everything else. And there's nothing that could be truer. Jesus told us to pray for those that despitefully use us, persecute us, pray for our enemies. And what our nation needs is God. Mm-hmm. He is the answer. We need the Lord. People need the Lord. And we need God to do a work in the hearts of everybody. We need God to give our leaders that are on the right side of this thing wisdom. We need God to deal with those leaders that are on the wrong side of this thing and remove bad people, bad cops, bad rioters, bad organizers, just bad people. They find their way in all sorts of different realms, and we need God to root them out and just be with our nation. So you want to pray? It was your idea.
Sure.
All right. Let's finish with a prayer here on the first side of the half.
All right. Dear Lord, we're so thankful for who you are, and we're thankful that, God, you see the big picture of all of it, and yet you can still use the good, and you can bring out good in every little situation. And we just lift up to those right now. We lift those up to you right now, God, that are just in the situation with the protest, and maybe they are making some awful decisions, God. Maybe they're the ones that are organizing, and they're doing the greatest job they can, Lord. And we just pray that no matter what, you would just be with that and help guide it and help put people and things in their path, God, that just help them want to do things the right way, God, that'll show them the right way to do things. And Lord, we pray, God, for our first responders. We pray for our police. We pray for the military. We pray for all these people, God, that are here and they serve a purpose of helping protect us and helping guide us. And Lord, we pray for encouragement to them, God. We pray, God, that you would just help them to be strengthened and that you would stick people and just those in the past that can encourage them and maybe extend something out to them, whether it's just to stop by and let them know, or maybe they get them something tangible. But no matter what, God, that you would just send extra people to them right now to let them know how much they're appreciated and how much they're cared for and how much they just mean to our communities. And Lord, we pray for the ones that aren't good, that God, they would be just known, that somehow the things that they're doing would not be hidden and that we could get the people out of the positions that are needed. And Lord, we're just thankful that you're above all these things. And we do, we just lift this up. We lift our nation up to you, God, as there's just so much turmoil going on with all the things, all the virus and just the uncertainties. And we just pray for guidance, God, for our president and for those that are under him, God, that you would just help give them wisdom, give them strength, give them encouragement, Lord. It has to be exhausting. Just encourage them, lift them up, send them people, God, that'll let them know they're on their side and that they appreciate how much they're doing, Lord. And we pray for everybody that's involved in these big things, God, and helping keep things positive and helping keep things afloat. And we lift these people up to you in a special way today, God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. All right, we'll be right back. Don't go anywhere.
COVID-19 can be stressful, even if you don't get sick. Social distancing, quarantine, isolation. If you're experiencing worry, or fear about you or your loved ones, sadness, anger, or frustration about being isolated, stress or guilt about not being able to maintain a normal work schedule, difficulty parenting through this time, or any other emotional or mental changes. The Well Christian Counseling Center is here for you. Our therapists are clinically and biblically centered. For appointments, call 263-2351. That's 263-2351. Or visit us online at thewellccc.com. Welcome back to the Joplin and Andrea podcast. We're getting ready for the second half of our show where we are getting ready to answer a question from one of our listeners. This question comes from Ross. He is a Bible teacher at our church. The question is, are altar calls biblical?
Good question.
Yeah.
Yeah, this was a question from Ross. Ross actually and his wife, they lead our college and career class. And this was a topic that was coming up amongst our college students, and Ross and I had talked it over a while back and wanted to address it today here on our podcast. So one of the points of emphasis to make at the very start of answering this question, are altar calls biblical, is defining that lots of times there's different views of what the word altar call means. Mm-hmm. For example, I was once told that altar calls forced, or at the very least, coerced people to make hasty decisions based upon an emotional response, not a spiritual response. This is only one example, but let's examine it. You know, for someone to insinuate that people could be forced to make a decision and that decision is based upon an emotional response, that immediately tells me the way that person views altar calls. That's not my view of altar calls. And so when we talk about the altar call, you kind of got to clarify what you're talking about. When most people use the word altar call, their definition is based upon their experience, probably in whatever church they came from, or maybe they saw something they saw on TV. When I use the term altar call, personally, what I mean by it is very simply this, an invitation for people to respond to, who are compelled to do so, to whatever the Lord's dealing with them about. So, few points of interest. Almost all of the recorded responses, both positive and negative, in the scriptures to Jesus' teaching, they were public. Mm-hmm. They weren't little private decisions where people went home and thought over what Jesus said and then decided if they wanted to accept it or reject it. Almost all of New Testament Christianity happens where the response is expected there. Whether it was the rich young ruler that came, whether it was Jesus showing up to the disciples and saying, "Follow me now." Whether it was in Acts, when Peter gets up and preach in Acts chapter 2, and what do the people come to him and say, "What do we do? What must we do to be saved?" His answer is, "Repent and be baptized." And that's exactly what they did. And so we see biblically, there is a lot of merit of giving people the opportunity to respond immediately to what they hear. Now, giving somebody the opportunity to pray and respond when their hearts are moved, it's not the same thing as forcing anyone to do anything. Mm-hmm. The fact that some people might be making emotional decisions does not somehow mean that we should eliminate the possibility or opportunity for those that are making sincere decisions. That's an odd conclusion to me. In this case, we should never do anything because theoretically a small minority could respond the wrong way. It's just kind of a silly argument to me that we shouldn't do altar calls or offer altar calls because somebody could respond wrong. One of the worst parts of that argument, in my opinion, is that somehow a spiritual thought or decision is supposed to be removed from our emotions. When people say you're making an emotional response, I don't think it's actually possible to make a true spiritual response if there's no emotion attached. I don't believe that.
Yeah.
God created us to be emotional beings. In fact, in Acts chapter 2, it said they were pricked in their hearts. not their spirits, not that they were spiritually moved. They were pricked in their hearts and wanted to know spiritually what should they do. So the idea that somehow there's a disconnect between what we feel emotionally and what and spiritual decisions, it's just kind of foolish. They are tied together. The moment I got saved was, for me, the most spiritual event in my life, obviously. It was also incredibly emotional. I wasn't responding, you know, just one or the other. It was both. And so, sometimes it's going to be emotional. There's nothing wrong with that. Mm-hmm. Things go wrong with the altar call when we misunderstand it or overstate its purpose. It can certainly be abused. Dragging someone there, shaming someone there, it's not going to change them. But we must be careful, I use this term a lot, not to throw the baby out with the bathwater. Mm-hmm. So, in short, the altar call is not necessarily biblical or unbiblical. You know, it just matters how you do it. The concept of allowing people to respond immediately when God pricks their hearts, that is biblical. And so long as the altar call is used in that method, it can be considered an act that has biblical merit. The opposite, such as the altar call being used to give the false appearance of new converts, or being used to shame people and coerce people to come to the altar just for the sake of getting people there, well, that would be unbiblical. And so that's why I say it's not necessarily one or the other. It's about, you know, what's happening. And one final thought, there's a whole lot of assuming in all of this people's motives in the discussion, if you think about it, such as that guy's making an emotional decision. That girl's making a spiritual decision. That preacher gives an altar call for the wrong reasons, but that preacher gives an altar call for the right reasons. The motive for the altar call and why people go to it, why preachers do it, why churches use it, we don't know. We don't know the motives. That is the reality of it, and we shouldn't pretend that we do. I mean, that's God's business. We're not the judge. It's not ours to determine the motives and the sincerity or lack thereof of those that respond at altars. So instead, our responsibility is to check our own hearts, make sure that we are being sincere in how we respond to God, and let God handle the rest. So that's my thoughts on the altar call. And we are now going to finish up with today's final topic, which my guess is not one single listener would ever guess what today's final topic of conversation is. Uh-huh. Wait for it.
Kind of need like a drum roll or something.
Wait for it. We don't have a drum roll, so I just keep saying wait for it to really build it up. Wait for it.
Wait for it.
Bigfoot.
Bigfoot.
That's right. We're going to be talking about Bigfoot. And why are we talking about Bigfoot?
Today we're talking about Bigfoot because he has been a hot topic at the Emberson household.
He has been.
He has. We have watched some shows. We've explored the
great... By we, she means our eight-year-old son. Yeah, over and over uh-huh. and over again.
Yeah, him and his little buddies at church were talking about Bigfoot and questioning whether he was actually outside in like this little forest area we have. And it kind of made him nervous. And so then he came home and let me know he was kind of worried that there was a Bigfoot. And that's kind of where it all started.
Yeah, thank you, Amazon Prime, for putting the reruns of Finding Bigfoot on for free.
Yeah.
So that our 8-year-old can just watch him over and over and over again.
Because he did let me know again, actually yesterday, that he's still scared that there might be a Bigfoot, even though the show's never proven that there was one.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so he goes in our backyard looking for him. Yeah. We kind of got tonight. We live on a creek, and he's back there looking for him all the time.
Yep.
So. Why'd you say he when you talked about Bigfoot? Like, why is it always a male Bigfoot? Technically, there would have to be males and females. Why is it never she when we talk about the Bigfoot?
I don't know. I guess I just think of like a Bigfoot being a male.
Yeah.
Versus like...
Like a tiny foot.
Or a medium foot.
Medium foot,
I don't know. But he's been a big topic at our house. And quite honestly, there's even like a little thing that you can do like... clicking things together or something to like call for them.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. And there's a certain call. Sounds like an owl, really. Yes. And our 8-year-old, he goes back into the backyard about 4 times a day, makes his Bigfoot call just to see if any will come in. Yep. So far, yep, hadn't happened. They did think they saw a little something rustling through the trees, but, you know, no proof.
Could have been teenagers, but they weren't sure.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So he's been a big topic, and the only thing that I can really relate to with Bigfoot is that Pizza Hut used to have this one massive pizza, and it was called the Bigfoot, and it was actually really, really
that
good.
That was good.
And that's the...
Do y'all remember the Bigfoot?
That's Bigfoot that I've actually seen that's real.
It was like 2 foot wide by 1 foot wide, and they cut it in squares instead of slices.
Yep.
Pizza Hut, if you're listening, you gotta bring back
the Bigfoot.
I can't believe they didn't with this uprising of this, you know, the Finding Bigfoot series.
Yeah, yeah.
Finding Bigfoot series. If you've never seen it, you gotta watch it.
That's right.
It's an interesting show. And I hate to be the guy that, you know, spoils it. If you've never seen it and you want to see it and, you know, you hate spoilers, then go ahead and tune it off now. Hit stop. I'm going to give you just a second to hit the stop button. But it's a good show, but every season ends very similar. In fact, every show does, to tell you the truth. They always get really close.
Yes. A different location.
Different location. You would not believe how many times they have almost been able to find one. But he's just always elusive. They never do.
They just find the hair or just the bone.
The search continues. Uh-huh. The search continues. And who knows? Maybe one of these days, one of these seasons, they're actually going to get real footage of one, capture one, something. I'm not sure, but...
Yeah. And if that's you, you let us know.
Yes, please. If you capture one, let us know. We want you on the show.
Yes.
Okay. Hey guys, we love you all. Thanks for listening. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. God bless. Goodbye.
Goodbye.